I'd like to use this idea tonight and preach for a few minutes on open curtains in a closing scene. Open curtains in a closing scene. When I was a teenager, 13, 14, my sister Libby, who had an interest in acting and drama, took me to the Flat Rock Playhouse near home there to see a play. The curtains were open several times and several acts were carried out before my eyes. I thought everything was over. I thought the whole drama was completed. The curtain was closed, and then all of a sudden, the curtains opened again, and all of those who were in the play came out on the stage and sort of bowed as everybody clapped for the performance they had given. It was a closing scene. It was over, but the curtains were open. Now, I'd like to make my confession before I enter into these thoughts. Often in the Christian journey, I have felt as though I was looking at a closing scene. The curtains were closed and the action was stopped. And it seemed as though God was 1,000 miles away. My prayers seemed to be nothing but words in the air. And the Bible seemed to be nothing but black letters on white paper. And then God, in His sovereign mercy, opened up the way. The curtains were opened in what I thought was a closing scene. You've had that same experience. And we'll have them again and again and again. I don't enjoy being around people who can't understand the grace of God sustaining us in our trials. I don't work too good, too well around perfect people. I'd rather be around fallen sinners like myself. But to hear some folks talk, they're about ready to fly away to heaven any minute. But I dare say right here tonight, there are some who feel they're looking at a closing scene. But our God has been known to open the curtains and to show His face, to show His light, His illuminating mercy and love. And we see that in this chapter. This is the closing chapter in Luke's gospel. The Lord Jesus is God. He goes back to heaven here. This is a closing scene, we might say. But there are at least 5 divine openings manifested in this closing scene. My only interest tonight is to encourage our hearts with the fact that God is able to take us further when it looks like it's all over. I believe that's true in an individual experience. I believe it's true in our home life, our marriage. I believe it's true in our health. I believe it's true in our Sunday school class. I believe it's true in the church. I believe it's true in varied ministries and forms of service. When it looks like it's the closing scene, all of a sudden God begins to open the curtains. Now, this is a very loved, familiar chapter. And I don't propose tonight to give you some new insight, but I would like to comment on God opening worlds and spheres of grace when we think everything is closed and shut down. Notice, first of all, in verses 1, 2, and 3, our first verses read, we have an open sepulcher. Now, the disciples have all gone in despair, thinking that it's all over. Jesus has died upon the cross. Jesus has expired. Someone said, I saw them take him down. They buried him in Joseph's tomb. It's all over. But we're told on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came under the sepulcher and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. You know, of course, the stone was not rolled away to let him out. The stone was rolled away so his followers could see that he was out of the tomb. Of course, in this scene of the open sepulcher, you have some visitors. These ladies are coming to the sepulcher early in the morning. Then you see a victory for the visitors. The stone is rolled away. And then in the remaining verses, going all the way down to verse number 29 and 30, you see the voice that is manifested to them. The living Lord came and walked with them down the Emmaus Road. And so there's an opening by God when it looked like everything was over. Keep in mind, they thought that Jesus had come to deliver them from the Roman Empire. And they watched the Romans crucify their Lord. Their world has been brought to an end. The scene is closed. But hallelujah, Jesus arose from the dead. And the curtains were opened in this closing scene at the sepulcher. In verse number 32, I read the text involving these Emmaus disciples. Jesus talked to them as they went down the way. They were sad, you remember, and he asked them what it was that was troubling them. And they told him, they said, it involves Jesus. He was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And the chief priests, they condemned him to death and have crucified him. And in verse 21, they said, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Ah, brother, they're looking at a closing scene. And yet, as Jesus opened unto them the Scriptures, they said later, did not our heart burn within us? While He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. Now the open sepulcher is the basis of all of our blessings in Christ. He was crucified, He was buried, but He was raised from the dead. He lives at the Father's right hand. And because of an open sepulcher, He opens the Scriptures to our doubting hearts. Recently, a young preacher talked to me about the text in Jeremiah where Jeremiah said that he was quitting. He wasn't going to be a prophet anymore. But he said, there was a fire down in my bones. And he said, I couldn't help it. I couldn't keep from it. And Jeremiah preached again and again and again. Here we have disciples who feel the fire has gone out. Jesus has died. We trusted Him falsely. We should have known better than to believe something like He told us. But now, as they go down the Emmaus Road, as He takes the Scriptures, the Pentateuch, and the Psalms, or the poets, and the prophets, we're told over in verse number 44, that He told them about what was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning Me. Wouldn't you love to have heard that sermon? They're going down the Emmaus Road, and Jesus is using all the typology of the Old Testament and pointing their hearts to Him, Himself. Somebody said, boy, that would have been great to hear that sermon. Did you know He wanted to do that for you and me today, but we didn't have time for Him to speak to us? He wants to warm our hearts with truth as well. The Lord Jesus opened the Scriptures. Let me read that 32nd verse again. They said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Now, traveling as I have all these many years, I've come to realize that there are people who know something about the Bible. They're familiar with accounts. They're knowledgeable of biblical stories. They are in the know regarding characters, Bible characters and personalities. They know who the sons of God are. They've got all the answers about the Antichrist. And everything's all clear to them. I've met them down through the years. But somehow the Bible is not alive to them. They're full of facts and figures and ideas and theories. But somehow the truth of God does not transform their inward man and their outward man. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus, when He opens the Scriptures to us, our hearts are set on fire. Oh, to be a God-taught individual instead of a man or a system-taught individual. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I said, oh, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, what about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah? Moses, they didn't have a Bible, but they're listed in that great faith chapter in Hebrews 11. There's more to it than the written record. God must speak faith into the heart. God must communicate and give light. If men understand truth, and it sets them on fire from within. I've seen them like you have come and go. But I've watched others who were Jesus taught keep going and keep going. Though a just man fall 7 times, yet shall he rise again, the wise man said. And so you have an open sepulcher. You have the open Scriptures. Then back up to verse 31. They've traveled 9 miles, approximately 9 miles with Jesus down the Emmaus Road, and they didn't even realize it was Jesus. Somehow, their vision was clouded as to who He was. It has something to do with His resurrection appearances. Mark said He appeared in another form. I don't know exactly what that means. But their eyes had to be opened to Him. They didn't recognize Him at first. And here we're told, after they invited Jesus into their house, and He had expounded unto them in the Scriptures the things concerning Himself, that as he sat at meat with them, he is not the host, he is the guest. But in this case, the guest became the host. The Lord Jesus sat down at meat with them, but he took the bread and he blessed the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And I can't prove this is what happened, but when their eyes were open, I've wondered if they didn't say, "Oh, we've seen somebody break bread like that before. We've seen someone minister in that fashion before." And their eyes were open to who he was. How blessed it is when the scene seems to be dark and it's the end. As far as we're concerned, not only are we made aware that he's alive, and not only are we brought face to face with the inward revelation of truth in our hearts, but hallelujah, how blessed it is when he opens our eyes and we see him. He was there all the time, but they didn't see him until he opened their eyes. May I say that's the key for this church and every other church in this hour. What good is it for us to bring in thousands of people if their eyes are never opened? He must open blinded eyes. Oh, that we might pray that God would open eyes. Every time I come down the street out here and look at the folks on the porches and see them in the community, I realize only God can open their eyes. Somebody said, "Well, we said come." Well, they're not coming. No, sir, they're not coming until God opens their eyes. Oh, that we might pray that God would rend the heavens and open their hearts to the gospel and open the gospel to their hearts and save them by his grace. And so their eyes are opened. We might call that revelation. And following revelation, there was recognition. They knew him. There was realization. They said, "Why, we ought to have known that's who it was. Our hearts were burning when he was teaching us, talking to us, coming down the road." Oh, beloved, when you think you've seen your last sight of the Lord, when you feel like your prayers have not touched him, when you feel like the scene is the end and the close, I'm here to remind us tonight that he can pull the curtain back and show us the things of God in a new way and open our vision to Christ in a new way. You know someone tonight that's no longer seeing him? They're caught up with their circumstances. They're worried about getting that boat paid off. Or they're talking about finding a house in the area since there's so many foreclosures and so many have left your area. This is the time to buy. This is the time to cash in. Is that what we have in our eyes? Or is it that we may know him, walk with him, and experience him? They said, the scripture says their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew him. Then come to verse 45. He appears to the other disciples, Simon Peter included, in this next scene. And the Bible says, then opened, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I had a dear lady come to me some time ago and she said, "Brother Hayes," she said, "my son has been called into the ministry." And she said, "He understands the Bible. He's studying and it's alive to him. He understands the Bible." She said, "Why can't I understand the Bible?" Well, I told her, I said, "Well, first of all, if he has a special call from God, God is going to undertake in his life in a different way than he does yours. However, You got to have God open your understanding. You can't just say, I'm going to read 4 chapters in the old and 3 in the new. Boy, I'm going to get into this thing. I'm going to learn. I'm going to read all the books that have been written lately about this subject. I'm going to the book of Revelation. I'm going to learn that book of the Revelation. And or we'll say, I tell you, I've always wanted to understand something about the book of Leviticus. I'm going to get me a book on Leviticus. And listen, you can read all the prophecy. You can read all the typology books. You can read all of the special treatments of various texts. And if God doesn't open your understanding, you won't be filled with anything but other people's thoughts. He must open our understanding. I say there was an open sepulcher, there are open scriptures, there's an open sight or open eyes, and now there are open senses. They begin to understand what the prophets were talking about and what Jesus was referring to when he said that he would be maligned and abused and mistreated and crucified. They're understanding it now. The resurrection truth is set before them in verse 46. Repentance is set before them in verse 47. Remission or forgiveness of sins is set before them in verse 47. They're understanding truths. They're understanding divine principles. I have met preachers who have been in the ministry a long time and they still have no light on repentance. They write it in books. They blab it right out of their mouths. That's something for the Jews. It's not for us Gentiles. And all you need to do is just believe the gospel. I want to tell you, the same God that calls us to faith calls us to repentance. Their eyes are open. Their senses are made sensitive to the precious truths of God. It looked like it was over and the sepulcher was open. It looked like it was over and the scriptures were opened. It looked like the scene was closed and their sight was open to Christ and who He was. It looked like it was over and their senses were opened and their understanding was enlightened. Notice lastly in verse 51, He takes them out as far as Bethany, verse 50 says, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. He's already blessing them like the great high priest. Somebody says, well, he couldn't do that until he goes back to heaven. Oh, he didn't just become a priest when he went back to heaven. He was a priest when he got here at birth. Forever thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Forever. He was a priest when he got here. I used to preach, when he came, he was a prophet. Now in heaven, he's a priest. And when he comes back, he'll be king. Only one thing wrong with that, it's wrong. When he came, he was prophet, priest, and king. Right now, he's prophet, priest, and king. And forever, he'll be prophet, priest, and king. Verse 51 says, as he blessed them, it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. You know they must have thought it's all over. Jesus is going back to heaven and it's going to be a closed book. But oh no, it wasn't a closed book. They're worshiping Him as He departs. And verse 53 says, after they came back to Jerusalem with great joy, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And as they waited upon the Comforter to come, the Bible tells us that He came in mighty power. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. The closing scene gives way to the open curtains. Here, having looked at an open sepulcher, an open scriptures, open sight, open senses, we see open skies. And the Lord Jesus, who had given the heavenly promise, takes the heavenly path back to the Father's right hand, and heavenly praise fills His people's hearts. Now, I told you how my sister took me to the Flat Rock Playhouse. Our daughter was performing in Greenville, and she was the star of the show. Of course, I didn't let anybody know she was my daughter. You know I didn't. But my wife and I went to see her perform. And she finished all the acts, the curtain calls. And then at the end, not just everyone, but one at a time came forth. And I looked when that curtain opened one more time, and there stood Angela. And everybody was clapping and applauding. I didn't feel the Spirit. I didn't feel God's power. But I felt a tear come down my cheek. That's my girl. That's our middle daughter. A sense of pride swelled up in me. Because though it was over, the curtain opened and the spotlight came on her. Ah, listen, we're not interested in the spotlight coming on us. But hallelujah, we're interested in the spotlight coming on Jesus. Amen. Yeah, but Tom, you don't know where I am. No. And you don't know where I am. We can camouflage it rather well, can't we? I've said to people, I've said to them, how are you doing? And they've said, great, great. And find out later they were hanging on by a thread while they were saying great. We can camouflage it rather well. We can give our crooked smile and act like everything's wonderful. When we think deep down, this is the closing scene. This is the final show. This is the last opportunity. And then praise God and the Lamb forever. When Satan has almost convinced you that it's over, God pulls back the curtain. The resurrected Lord warms your heart. The scriptures become alive. Your eyes are open to reality. And your senses are made alive to God's truth. And it seems as though the heavens are open. And God is pouring out His blessings upon you again. Can I say to that Sunday school teacher tonight, don't give up now. It may look like the closing scene, but God may be ready to open the curtains. Could I say to that singer? Could I say to that husband, that wife, that mother, that father, that grandpa, that grandma? It may look like it's the closing scene, but our God may be getting ready to pull the curtains back and show Himself mighty in your experience. This is the closing chapter. But it's not the close of God's revelation, is it? Oh no, Luke picks up in Acts chapter 1 right where he left off. God pulled the curtains back. May our hearts be renewed in faith and confidence. As we come to a close in this meeting, we look at the days ahead. May our hearts rejoice in what God has in mind for us. When we look at what may seem to be a dead-end street, may we remember that God made a way through the Red Sea when there was no way. And He's able to open up the way for you and me. Open curtains in a closing scene.